Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 7, the Apostle Paul is saying something here. He's already spoken with this kind of language to the church at Galatia. He said, you did run well. This can happen to individuals. It can happen to a church. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? There was a time they obeyed the truth and they were running well and doing good, but that was in the past. Something's happened. He said, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Let me just say this, brethren. I was thinking of that verse just a minute ago while the ladies were singing. Here are people who at one time they were doing really well in the Christian life, in the Christian race. They were running well, and then they began to slack off. And that's why we need to pray for one another. You know why? One of the reasons that some people are not here tonight, one reason is they have work constrictions that maybe they weren't expecting. They can't help it. But there are some people who are not here tonight who could be here tonight. We have to pray. There are people all over the country in churches tonight. At one time, they wouldn't have missed a service for anything in the world. Now it takes hardly anything for them to miss. Paul said, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Now listen to this. This persuasion, this change, cometh not of him that calleth you. So he answers his own question. Who did hinder you? Who's behind this? Is it God? Is it the Holy Spirit? Is he responsible for you not running well and lapsing off on the truth? And then he says, no, that's not who it is. It's the devil that's really behind that. Now here's the explanation for what is going on in verse 9. He says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Please be seated. Now, I want us to look at the subject of leaven just for a few minutes tonight. It's a powerfully important subject, leaven. In verse 7, Paul is alluding to the extent of the leaven of sin's work. He says in verse 7, you did run well. Here's how this leaven had affected them, the extent that you should, who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? He gives the explanation in verse 8, not God. It's not God that causes a Christian to slack off. It's not God that's behind a Christian's cooling down spiritually. It's not him that has called us. Then in verse 9, there's an exhortation concerning the leaven's work. It's an exhortation in the form of really a warning. He says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Here's the big red flag. A little leaven, a little sin, leaveneth the whole lump. The lump might be the church. The lump might be an individual Christian's life. It could be your life, my life, that is affected by the leaven that in the Bible is presented as a type of sin. Now, in the book of Exodus, we're first presented with this when the Lord said to his people in Exodus 12 and 15, he said, 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread, unleavened. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Because leaven was a type of sin. That's why when we take the Lord's Supper in the bread, it's unleavened. There's no yeast in it. Now, a lot of people approach the Lord's Supper like they do baptism. They play fast and loose with it. They say, what does it matter? Water is water. We'll sprinkle, we'll pour, whatever. But that's not a type of burial, which baptism is. And the bread, Jesus said, this is my body. This is me. Well, Jesus had no sin in him. That's why we're instructed to take bread in the Lord's Supper that represents him, and there's no leaven in that bread. Now, leaven is mentioned all through the process of leaven. We're going to be looking at that a lot here in the next minute or two. But here's what leaven does. Here's what sin does. It didn't take long. You only have to read it into three chapters in the Bible, and all of a sudden, Satan is there, sin is there, the fall is there, the curse is there. How much did sin work in the ancient world? Well, you only have to read after the introduction of sin in chapter 3. You get to chapter 6 and look at the state of the world. The Bible says in verse 11, God looked down. It says the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. That was the ancient world. This is how quickly, how dramatically sin works. When you look in Ezekiel's day, which when you read those major prophets and minor prophets, especially in the day of Ezekiel and so on, Jeremiah, it is a picture of America today. It's right where we are. And here's how sin had worked in Israel. God's people had turned away from God, had turned away from the truth. Here's what happens when a nation does that. In Ezekiel 8 and 17, the Lord said, Ezekiel said, then he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger. When these wicked rulers came on the scene, secular rulers and spiritual rulers, it wasn't long until their sinful leaven had permeated the whole nation. We have never had, ever, I feel absolutely safe in saying this, we have never ever had in America the state of criminal behavior and conduct, the most low class people in all areas of life, heading up all of our institutions. We have it today. It's taken, this nation's what, a little over 230 years old? The leaven started working big time. I believe socially big time about 1960. Well, we had our problems before then, but it was after 1960 that all of a sudden pornography, homosexuality, get God out of the school, out of people's lives, ban prayer. Look how that leaven has worked in America. When you look at our highest leaders in government, at the White House, the houses of Congress, the schoolhouse, the church house, and a lot of people's houses today, you see how the leaven of sin has absolutely permeated them. And we'll see what happens when that takes place. And here's the sad thing. God says to his servant, he says, is it a light thing to thee? People in America, Christians, maybe for the most part, have lost the ability to be embarrassed, to be shocked, to be angry at the sin that's in our society today. Now, I said there's a good place where leaven is referenced in the Bible. And it's in, I was thinking about this sitting up here on the platform. It is in connection with the gospel witness. See, the Word of God is supposed to work like leaven in a society. It works like that in your life. That's why this 119th Psalm is such a blessing. Jesus said this in Matthew 13 and 33, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal until the whole was leavened. You know, when God's people really get out with the Word of God and sow the Word of God, it'll catch on. I've seen it during my lifetime work in a person's life like that, the leaven of the gospel in this good sense here. This is just how it works in a family. It spreads and it spreads, and so on. In Acts 3 and in verse 28 or 5 and 28, here's what Jesus's parable. Here it is in action. Just what he was talking about. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin court, got the apostles all, arrested them, threatened them, and they warned them. Here was their charge to them. They said, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? See, this world has always had a problem with the name of Jesus. Because there is power in that holy name. The Bible says a lot. Jesus said, well, if you ask anything in my name, that's why it doesn't do anybody any good to pray thinking about Allah or anybody else. They said, did not we told you not to teach in this name? Now listen to this. They said, and in spite of what we told you, behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Now that, beloved, that's what a church is supposed to do. That's why I hope that, I'm telling you, these lessons on 1 Corinthians are going to be so helpful to our church and to everybody, because they cover all the bases. They are rich, and we don't want to miss any of them. It's talking about this very thing. Only with this illustration, what happens when the church is not being invasive where the society is concerned and it gets flipped around? See, what we have today is what they had at the church of Corinth. The church at Corinth was to permeate the city with its influence, but what happened was the exact opposite. The city permeated Corinth with its influence. And that's what's happened in the modern churches today. Now, I want us to look real quick at how leaven is introduced. How many of you have ever made or watched grandma, somebody make bread? How many of you ever watched it? You know the process. Okay? Then you're all familiar with leaven, right? There's another word they use for leaven today. It starts with a Y. What is it? Yeast. Okay? We all know about it. One of the most common memories that I have is of my grandmother making bread. She made it on a regular basis. I mean, she had her time during the week. She made that bread and got it all out, got a big old crock of soured milk out and the leaven, the yeast, and so on and so forth, and made that bread and left it overnight after she got it the way she wanted it, left it overnight, put a damp towel across it. That sound familiar to anybody? And so keep that in mind, because that's what's in the background of what Paul is saying here. Now, think about the introduction of leaven into our lives. Boy, we've got high-tech ways to introduce leaven into our lives now. Here's the cause of it. Here's how it happens. And right here in Galatians 5 and verse 8, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Well, where does it come from then? 1 Peter 5 and 8. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, your very own personal adversary, the devil, is walking around seeking whom he may devour. Now, in the Bible, you find leaven, the stuff that definitely impacts whatever it's introduced to. You find leaven mentioned in three cases. One, and this is what churches and individual Christians have to be so careful about. In the first place, the Bible talks about the leaven. Jesus talked about the leaven of the Pharisees. Remember that? He said to his disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. In Matthew 16, verse 6 and 11, then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. He says it again, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Matthew 16, verse 6 and 11. What was the leaven of the Pharisees he was talking about? What were the Pharisees, their particular guilt? He said, this is leaven. Don't let this get into you. You know what it was? It was hypocrisy. He was talking about these religious people who were so hypocritical. You see it today in some places. It doesn't have to be a Jewish Pharisee. It could be a Baptist preacher. It can be a Christian. Any Christian can become hypocritical. They haven't always been hypocritical, but they get this leaven of hypocrisy. Jesus said to his own apostles, you be careful. I don't care if you are apostles. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. When you read on there, you remember, he says to them, woe unto you, woe unto you, woe unto you. You teach one thing, you do another. You make demands of people. You wouldn't take one of those demands around your own little finger. You put heavy burdens on others that you wouldn't even lift with your little finger. Beware of hypocrisy. And then leaven is mentioned in another way, and this was with some close associates of the Sadducees, of the Pharisees rather, and these were the Sadducees. Now, the Sadducees had a problem. In case there's anybody here that doesn't know this, that doesn't help hurt people when you know these things to be reminded of them. Some people don't know. The Pharisees were the religious conservatives of the day. They believed in all the miracles. Now, they weren't all fair. They weren't all hypocrites. But some of them were, and Jesus said, you beware of the leaven, because it's so easy for that hypocrisy among these Pharisees. The Pharisees were the religious conservatives. They believed in angels. They believed in miracles. They were hardliners when it came to Scripture and so on and so forth. But the Sadducees, who had their own following, were the modernists of Jesus' day. They didn't believe in the miracles. They didn't believe in angels. In particular, they didn't believe in the resurrection. Somebody said that's why they were sad, you see. They didn't believe in a resurrection. And Jesus said in Matthew 16, he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything. And there he's addressing these Pharisaical types that were they were the true legalist. They were the true legalists. They said you can't really be saved unless you repent and put your faith in Christ and also be circumcised and follow the old Jewish dietary laws and this and that and the other thing, or you can't be saved. Well, there's a whole lot of problems with that right on its face. But that was rank legalism. And so in 2 Thessalonians,
Here's what the Lord is saying, that don't let yourself become infected with this kind of hypocrisy. Now, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 3, it says, "For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work." That word "work" means it's just alive. It's working alive. It's really a picture. This is a crude example of lifting up a garbage can and seeing that the bottom is rotted out of it, and there's all kinds of nasties crawling in that filth in that garbage, and it's working away. That's the kind of thing that leaven does. See, the leaven of the Pharisees was hypocrisy, but there's another kind of leaven we have to be careful about. And that's the leaven of the Sadducees, and that's heresy. These were the guys that said, they talk about angels, don't believe it. Don't believe it. Resurrection, nah. There is a leaven of heresy. Now, in the Bible, we get clear instruction on the subject of church discipline. Most churches don't touch it with a 10-foot pole. And the best of churches are probably negligent about it. You want to be real careful with church discipline, but you don't want to dismiss it. There are three major reasons why somebody should come to the place where they have to be put out of a church. One of them is morality. If they won't get right, their immorality can lead to their expulsion from the church. And I'm going to tell you something, beloved. I'm going to tell you something right now that a whole lot of Christians don't know today. It's still in the Bible, but people are missing it. The Bible is really, really clear that when a scriptural New Testament church, by consensus, and call it a vote if you want to, but a church comes to a decision to exclude somebody from that church, the Bible says God in heaven accepts what that church did. Amen. And it will have its ramifications at the judgment seat of Christ for that individual who has been so disciplined. One of these days we'll have just a study on that, but it's so clear in the Bible. People take it so lightly today. They won't take it lightly at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, it has to be scriptural. It has to be a New Testament church. It has to be done the right way. But if it is scriptural, done the right way, by the authority of a New Testament church, God recognizes the disciplinary action of the church. I wish there was some way to inoculate everybody that comes into a church with an understanding of that and put the fear of God into them. Now, so there's the leaven, or I was saying, immorality. There's another reason people should be, according to the Bible, expelled from a church, and that is when they're incorrigible in the matter of heresies, heresy. And this is like years and years and years ago. There was a time when people would creep into a church, and before long, they'd be getting around people and pushing the idea of speaking in tongues. So many churches got tore all to pieces by that kind of thing. People can come in and start teaching something that is just unbiblical. Now, you deal with people like that very carefully. See, one thing that you gotta learn. Pastors need to learn this. Preachers, young preachers need to learn it. If you got an anthill problem, you don't deal with an anthill in your backyard with an atomic bomb. Amen. There's too much collateral damage. And the Bible says, let all your things be done in love. The idea of church discipline is to restore people. That's the whole idea. To restore them. But if they're unrestorable and incorrigible, you don't let that leaven remain to permeate the whole lump. Now, there's another reference to, we've looked at hypocrisy and heresy, the leaven of hedonism. Now here's where you look in Mark chapter 8 and verse 15, and Jesus is cautioning his disciples there, beware of the leaven of Herod. Herod was a wicked man. He was a lascivious man. He was licentious. He was a lustful man. Everything about him was that way. And there is a leaven of hedonism, and it is working like crazy today in our society. Here's a dictionary definition of hedonism. This is the doctrine that pleasure and happiness is the sole or chief good in life. That's the doctrine of hedonism. It's like the bumper stickers they had back in the 60s. You'd see them, he that dies with the most toys wins. And that's how people began to think. That it's all about, life is all about pleasure. When we get into that study in 1 Corinthians, you'll see that that idea had crept into the Corinthian church. They couldn't even have the Lord's Supper there unless they made it a big party. Everything had to be fun. I like fun, and we have a lot of fun. Last night in our men's meeting, I drove all the way home thinking, I got up this morning thinking about what a good time we had. Amen. This idea of everything has got to be entertaining and fun for us. Well, you can look this up sometime for yourself, do the research. Back in the 20s and 30s, there was a group of elitists with men in it like H.G. Wells and George Bernard Shaw. And you can see this in black and white. In fact, there's a few spots on YouTube where you can hear these men themselves voicing these things. One of their goals to completely reshape American society back in the 20s was, we can envision huge stadiums and theaters where people will go and just watch ball games and entertainment. Now, the reason they were thinking that way is because these men were diabolically brilliant and evil. They wanted to destroy American society. The devil has had his crosshairs of his rifle scope on America since the beginning. Way back then. Well, what do we have today? Right here in Chesterfield, you drive around, you'll find these theaters. They got 17, 18 different picture shows going on at the same time. The idea of building $1 billion, I don't know, it was a billion or something, for the Rams football team that didn't even want to stay here. These are not good things, beloved. But they dot the landscape today. Churches are as rare as hen's teeth, but you got playgrounds and hockey centers and this storefront where kids can go in and flop around for an hour for a few bucks. I mean, it's crazy. It's the leaven of hedonism. Jesus said to beware of that. Sometimes there is a leaven that is, can even be thought of in terms of your companionship. You get around the wrong people, and before long it will influence and affect you. Paul wrote this to the Corinthians. He said, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? You know what their problem was? They were glorying in the fact that they had in their congregation a man who was living immorally with his stepmother. And the church at Corinth's attitude toward that was, let him that is without sin cast the first stone. We're so far above that, caring about that sort of thing. You got to be careful about companionship. I'm just telling you, when people are allowed to stay in a church, here's the third reason for putting somebody out of a church: if they will, cannot be restored, is if they're troublemakers, if they're stink stirrers, if they're contention makers. It's disgusting. And I'll tell you what, you leave people like that in a church, they have a way of getting themselves a little group for longs just like them. And sometimes they'll get some people that have always been good-hearted and sweet-spirited. You cannot be around that kind of thing and not be affected by it. Now, leaven is inconspicuous. If you walked in an hour after my grandma put that bread out there on the table and she had the leaven in it, you just think you had a big lump of dough on the table, because the leaven that's inside is not noticeable. It works in a very, it's small. It doesn't take much leaven. You got a lump of bread that's this big, but lump of dough, and you got a little bit of leaven in it that might be the size of a sugar cube, and it even though it's small, it's effective. A little leaven. I've been talking about the church, beloved, but a little leaven in your life, just a little. Just a little. A little bit of flirtation has wrecked a family and generations. A little bit of envy. A little bit of bitterness. And many are gone out of the way. Just a little. Zechariah 4:10, "For who hath despised the day of small things?" In Ecclesiastes 10 and 1, here's another small thing, like leaven in a big loaf. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly in him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. Here's somebody who's had a good reputation for wisdom and honor, and then they start acting like a knucklehead, and their whole reputation is gone. Proverbs 6 and 10, "Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep." People who have been hardworking, industrious, and diligent can get to the place where they think, well, it's time for me just to relax and not do anything. I'm going to hurry up and close, but I've seen this happen in churches. People who have been some of the best workers in churches, you've seen it. And after they get to a certain age, it's like, oh, let the young people do it. Beloved, I'm telling you, presenting you with a truth right now. When people have got some years on them as a Christian, they got more to offer than they've ever had. And it's not time to go on vacation. It's not time to retire and just be in the church in body only. You won't, and if you have that attitude, you won't be there in body only very long. Song of Solomon. Take the little foxes that spoil the vine. See, for our vines have tender grapes. So leaven is inconspicuous because it's small, it's subtle. All of us were sleeping at Grandma's house. Grandma and Grandpa right there in the middle room. Kids up in the attic. But down below, something was really at work on the table and in that dough, and it was this leaven. And here's what leaven does: it works very subtly, but it has a big influence. You know what it does? It takes control of the whole lump. It'll change the shape of it. That's what happens to the bread. It grows and grows and grows, and it changes the whole complexion and the shape of the bread. It spreads and it sours and it swells, and gradually it just takes over, and the bread rises
The whole form has changed, and it's all being done obscurely. But when you wake up in the morning and you look at what was left flattened out on the table under the towel the night before, now it's completely changed. It's completely different. That's the way sin works in a church, in people's lives, in homes. It becomes, but by and by it becomes very obvious. Leaven has been at work here. Leaven has been at work. 1 Corinthians 5 and 6. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Amen. Let's all stand together and